Those on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Trudy Pratt, and I'm sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott today. As you probably know, they're on vacation, and they're taking a nice needed break, and I'm here today with a big lineup of guests, and we're going to have some fun. And before we do any of that, we're going to have our friend Liam tell us about the weather today.
Good morning. Alrighty, so today we have a chance of showers. Thunderstorms are also possible, mostly cloudy, a high near 72. And a 50% chance of rain tonight, showers and rain, mostly cloudy, with a low around 57. Wednesday, showers are likely, thunderstorms, high near 71, and a 70% chance of rain. And that continues on. Later in the week, we're going to be seeing, some highs near 86, and then some highs near 91, so.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some nice, beautiful, rainy weather.
Yeah. Well, we certainly like the fact that our sidewalks downtown here are so nice and clean. And my car is clean.
I know. I love this weather.
Yeah. So. You were saying you wanted it to have like a year and a half of straight.
If it was raining for like the foreseeable future, I wouldn't complain.
I know. That's lovely. But probably knowing humans, we'd be griping in no time.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, thanks. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll get our show started here then. So, well, I'm Trudy Pratt. I'm a chiropractor here in Reading. I've been a chiropractor for 30 years, and I had a show way back in the day when Carl and Linda started this station, and it was called Positively Healthy. It was on Saturdays at 10, so this seems a little early, but we've all kind of joined together so that these two can go on a trip, and I think we kind of hope that they can do more of that in the future. Getting away is important. It makes you appreciate home, and so our show today is, you know, we're packed with guests, and our first guest today is Sadie Krueger, and Sadie is from the county, and I'm going to just give you a little rundown of what we're doing today. So as you're waking up and you're getting your cup of coffee, I want you to know what's a-coming. So we have Sadie today from the county. She is the education coordinator. Did I say that right?
Education specialist.
Specialist. Okay, of course. And so and then we're going to go to, we're going to Christine Stewart, who is an RN and a healing touch practitioner, and she right now is a supervisor of clinic operations over at Mercy in the cardiovascular surgery department. And so, and then at 8 o'clock, we have Ginger Salido and Jenny Patterson coming on. And, you know, they're from Exodus Farms in Anderson. They were on with Carl probably 6 years ago. And when I was putting together a show, you know, I got to choose the guests today. And when I was putting together my show, I was super sensitive to the fact that in our culture right now, we have kind of boys from 18 to 24 having a really hard time. And I was trying to connect, trying to find how we're going to help young people. And I know there are a lot of programs out there where people are using horses to kind of heal the hearts and minds of children. And so when I called Exodus, I learned that that's not really their target. Their target is more children who are really the victims. Their program is full. And so they are children that are very young to age 18. So I didn't really nail it, but when I got them on the phone, what they were doing was so interesting, I knew you had to hear about it. So that's coming up from 8 to 9. And so right now we're going to start with Sadie. And so we have Sadie Krueger. And Sadie, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's nice to have you here. And so Sadie is my friend, but she also has done lots and lots of things. So tell us about the careers you've had before we get to your current career.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, I've been a chef. I've been a food service director. I worked at Simpson University for
I think that's
years.
When I met you. Yes. You were running the show over there.
Yes. Dignity Health. I was the nutrition director over there.
Great.
I'm an adjunct instructor at Shasta College, and I've been there on and off for about 15 years.
Great.
And, yeah, now I'm over at the county with public health.
And you were at Vibra, right?
At
you
Vibra.
Ran there. And always trying to put healthy food, you know, trying to sneak healthy food down people, right? Kind of change programs to get a little bit of real food going. And we all appreciate that. So.
I love local food and organic food and how we can help encourage the health and wellness of the community by what we eat.
Well, we know I love that.
Yes.
So now in this capacity, here you are. You are educating the community about syphilis. And also today we've pulled you in to talk about monkeypox. And so just the mere fact that our county has a person like you who is basically PR and education for syphilis tells us something, right? So if I were to ask this question right now, and if I said, okay, you know, what do Al Capone and Beethoven and Christopher Columbus and Hitler and Mussolini have in common? We would say what?
Syphilis.
Mm-hmm. Syphilis. Okay. But then it must be coming to a county near us, right? So go ahead and tell us, like, what the heck? Why do we have this program?
Well, it was almost eradicated about 20 years ago, and we've seen an increase, and a huge increase. So in the California, in the last 10 years, we've seen a 349% increase. And
now that sounds menacing.
I know it does.
Yeah.
And in Shasta County, it's a little better, but it's still a 47% increase in syphilis and 36% increase in congenital syphilis. And congenital syphilis is something that is horrific if you've seen photos.
So tell
of
us
it.
What congenital means.
Congenital is when a woman delivers a baby while she has syphilis and it's transferred to the child. And it can cause deformities of the mouth, the brain, different body parts, and stillborn death up to death. So really just not good and something that can be prevented. So that's where I come in. That's the education piece, is what could we do to prevent congenital syphilis and how could we educate people? And part of it is educating the providers of what we could do, that it's back,
mm-hmm.
that a lot of people, that it can be prevented. So testing.
I mean, are they mostly like me where they're like, what? You're who? You know? Do they already know it's back? I mean,
they're getting
that's kind
on
of
board.
Their job more than mine.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a lot of education that's been done the last few years, so they're realizing that, okay, it's back.
Yeah.
We need to test for this. And so, yeah, testing at the first prenatal visit is very important. And when you're
so
in
that's
a high
happening?
Risk,
is it happening now or is it not happening?
It's somewhat happening, but there's even – it's a little more intense if it's a high-risk community, which we're a high-risk community. So testing at the first prenatal visit, the third trimester, and at delivery. So those are the new guidance from the CDC based on a high-risk area, which we're considered. So
now what makes you high-risk?
The amount of – oh, what makes you or the county?
The county. Like how do we become high-risk? How do we fall into that?
They look at how many births – that we have, how many live births, and how many cases of congenital syphilis. So they do the math there and look at the rates compared to other counties.
Okay. Well, that sounds easy but hard. Okay. So then your job is to do what then?
Well, partially educating the physicians and educating the community that, hey, come on and get tested.
Yeah. So now, should we all be tested?
If you see a rash...
Okay, let's go
rash.
Through these symptoms. Okay, good one. Let's talk about that.
Because
right now everyone's looking at their arm like, what is that, you know?
And usually it's in the genitals. So you would know if you had this rash.
But is it painful?
It's not always painful.
Okay.
But yes, if there's sores in that area, then you definitely want to get that looked at. And the interesting thing about syphilis is it'll go away.
Oh, dear.
So in about 1 to 4 weeks, it just clears up, and you're like, hallelujah.
Whatever that was, it's gone.
Yeah. But unfortunately, it's a spirochete, so it's like a spiral, and it'll spiral into your bloodstream, and it can come back and represent itself as secondary syphilis. And
now, wait. Syphilis. Secondary syphilis, what does that mean?
So that means that it's representing. So it can represent on the hands, on the back, so it can... your mouth, you can get the lesions in different areas. So when it comes back, and it could present in the brain, neurosyphilis, or in the eyes, ocular syphilis. So there's a lot of people that feel crazy, or they can't see, their vision is impaired, and so they're not quite sure what's wrong. But if you can trace it back to that rash, that could be syphilis. So think, you know, it's really with often, not always, but with risky behavior, having multiple sexual partners. There's a higher incidence in men who have sex with men. So if you fall into those high-risk categories, having more risky behavior and, again, having those symptoms, then, yes, you want to get tested and treated right away. And it is treatable. So that is the good piece of it, is that there, with a shot of the penicillin, you can get rid of it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we had a little bit of good news. I hope everybody caught that. So just tell us about that, and then we'll take off to a break and pay some bills. So what? It's a shot of penicillin.
Yeah.
Where do they put that?
So it's a shot in the butt.
Shot in the butt. All right. Gotta like that.
So it's, but it depends on the level of syphilis. So if it's gone into secondary syphilis or tertiary syphilis, then you might need to get a series of that. But with the average person, and if it's primary syphilis, you can just get a nice little shot in the butt and get
and
rid of it.
And you're good to go.
Yeah.
How relieving.
Yes.
Okay, so this sounds like a treatment that is something we've heard of, you know, penicillin, been around forever. So,
and if the mom gets treated while she's pregnant, she can even get rid of it and not give it to her child.
Oh, what?
So that's the big push, is make sure to get it.
Yeah, I can see how important that is. Mm-hmm. Okay, I love it. So we are going to take a break. Right now you're listening to KCNR. I'm Trudy Pratt, and I'm sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott. We'll be right back.
Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
It's time for the Stillwater Powwow at its new location, the Reading Rodeo Grounds, September 30th through October 2nd with free admission. It's the return of beautiful dancers, powerful drummers, and the celebration of our people's culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and the Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow at its new location, the Reading Rodeo Grounds, September 30th through October 2nd with free admission. For information, call 242-4558 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potters, this station, and other sponsors.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlu's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlu's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlu's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlu's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Gold Leaf Nursery is open. Have you noticed all the different colors of crepe myrtles blooming? We have several varieties and colors. Dwarf size, semi-dwarf, up to full size to choose from, and right now they're on sale. They are drought tolerant, and it's a great time to buy. Gold Leaf Nursery carries a large selection of water-resistant shrubs and trees. We have our summer sale going on now with 20% off 1 gallon through 24-inch box trees. Gold Leaf Nursery, located on Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road, across from the Tucker Oaks Golf Course.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at kcnr1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Welcome back. Gosh, I hope you're enjoying our segments here. We're talking to Sadie Kruger, who's from Anderson, California. Right, Sadie?
Or Redding, California.
I know, but were you a kid in Anderson?
No.
Oh, great. Just passing on misinformation. I thought you went to Anderson High.
No, I went to the Seventh-day Adventist School.
Oh!
Here in Redding.
In Redding. Okay. So, there we go. I'm glad you're here to correct me. All right. So, we're going to get back to syphilis in Shasta County. And we kind of want to know why there's an increase. And then we also want to know more about the testing. You know, when you hear testing, it already sounds painful, right? So it's like, ooh, testing. So let's talk about testing and then why the increase, or in opposite order. It's kind of up to you.
Sure. Well, so the testing, it needs to be observed through a dark field microscope, and it can be challenging to diagnose and treat. But they've now come up with a rapid syphilis test. So that's what I think is pretty exciting, that, I mean, you still do a confirmatory draw, but with the rapid syphilis test, you can do the presumptive treatment. So that means when somebody comes in and they're showing signs, and they can get a rapid test, and it's pretty accurate. It's very accurate, actually. And so then they can get the treatment right then. So often people would have to come in, do the blood draw, and it was like a week or two before you got anything back, and then the treatment. And not everybody can come back in. So, so it's pretty exciting with the rapid syphilis test that they can get in, they can get treated, and you're on your way.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah, we're now offering those at Give for Free with the county. So we've got a grant to give that to the ERs. So we're giving that to the emergency room so they can also test and treat immediately.
Okay, well, now, that is excellent. I like that. Just fast. I like things that are fast.
Yes, me too.
Okay, so then we have this increase in syphilis. So what is going on here? Let's talk about that a little bit more.
Well, we're seeing a lack of prenatal care. So that's one of the issues. So
now, what groups have lack of prenatal care?
Well, there's underinsured, the uninsured, so, that, yeah, if you don't have insurance.
Like homeless or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we are seeing an increase in that demographic as well. And also because of the dating apps. So there's these new apps such as like Grindr and Tinder and where people could hook up anonymously. So I think that's increased the sexual activity in a lot of people and, causing a little bit of a spread of STDs.
Okay.
Or STIs, which we've renamed them.
Oh, right. Okay, let's talk about that because we have to keep up with the renaming of everything.
I know. It's an effort to help destigmatize. And so instead of causing it a sexually transmitted disease, it's more of a sexually transmitted infection. So
One sounds like it has a cure. One sounds really dreadful.
Yes. Because a lot of times you get an infection and you can treat it and you're good. So it's not always in the disease state. So, we figured it's a little less stigmatizing and easier to understand.
And, you know, I don't think I realized until we started talking about this that syphilis was so easy to treat. Just because, I've fallen out of the loop of knowing about syphilis. And so I think this is marvelous. And so, you know, I was reading the old cures, and it was like arsenic, and I mean, all these things that also mm-hmm. would kill you or make you suffer dreadfully, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see that it's something we all know about, penicillin, what's been around since the 40s, I think. And so.
Oh, they were using like doxycycline and things that weren't as effective. So, yeah, the bicillin is very effective.
Oh, good. Okay, so then we have some symptoms I think people should know about. And so I know we're talking about congenital syphilis now, and I want people to kind of, like, let's just say you do have a child and they might have some strange symptoms that maybe parents or grandparents or somebody should recognize and tell us, like, what we should be aware of.
Okay, it can cause deformed bones, severe anemia, an enlarged liver and spleen, jaundice, brain and nerve problems like blindness, deafness, meningitis, or skin rashes. And usually these health problems develop in the first few weeks after birth, but they can also happen years later.
And you were talking about it, you know, the nickname for syphilis being like the great masquerader.
Yeah, yeah. You'll find a lot of people that are like, oh, I just cut myself shaving, you know, because it can represent as a chancre, as, you know, different sores, and it can be on the lip or different areas. So, yeah, people seem to just go, oh, it's, you know, it's nothing. It's just a sore. And, yeah, but like I was saying, it goes into the bloodstream. So it can also represent in other ways, rashes on different parts of the body. So, yeah, you might see a rash on their hands or their back even, their face. So.
Okay. Ooh. So now what kind of campaigns are you, like, I know you're part of your job is to sort of get this campaign going. And so what is your campaign? Tell us what you're doing here.
Yeah, you've probably seen some of the other education material that we had around syphilis. And so now we're just saying it's the rash or sore that might be syphilis, and to talk, test, treat. Talk to your provider. Get tested. Get treatment. It's that easy. So talk, test, treat is one of the things that we're kind of reiterating.
Okay. Well, then you have a couple of places where people can get tested, and then we're going to move right over to monkeypox, just real briefly.
Okay, yeah. So if you don't have healthcare, obviously you talk to your doctor first, but if you don't, there's obviously the county. We can test and treat there. Shasta Community Health Center, Planned Parenthood, Women's Health Specialist, Hill Country. These are places that you can get free or low-cost testing and treatment. And there is one other site that is pretty great, tellyourpartner.org. Can I mention that?
You bet.
So it's an anonymous site where if you have been diagnosed with an infection, you can anonymously notify your partner if you have their phone number, and you scroll down and you can just say, oh, syphilis or gonorrhea, whatever it is, and click that button, and it'll send them a message that they need to get tested.
Marvelous. Mm-hmm. And I know when we talk about prevention, I know part of your push is condoms. We were meeting before you came on today at my office the other day, and you brought in like two of the biggest boxes of condoms, and I was cracking up, you know, because obviously that's going to be number one, right?
It is. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Wear condoms.
We got one patient to take a box of condoms with her, you know,
oh,
we're like,
good.
Right? No, you did.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
Hey, that's good.
Abstinence isn't always the number one anymore. So it's just protection.
Protection. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, then I think what we'll do is we'll do some very quick monkeypox and we got super into the syphilis, and let's talk about monkeypox for a couple of minutes here. We've got about 3 minutes before we go to a break,
okay.
And then we'll move on to Reiki, healing touch. You're going to stay on with us, and we're going to bring Christine in, and we're going to just kind of change the flow a little bit to a little bit of self-care. But let's talk about monkeypox. What is it?
Okay, it's a viral illness that's been circulating in California and the U.S. since spring of 22.
Okay, it's new.
It's new, yes. And I want to just make sure everyone knows the current risk to the general public is low, but anyone can get monkeypox. So it's good to be aware of the signs and symptoms to keep you and your family safe. So the symptoms are fever, body aches, swollen lymph nodes, headache, chills, exhaustion, and, of course, the fluid-filled pustules.
Okay, so when we're kind of wondering if we have COVID or monkeypox, are we kind of looking at the fluid-filled pustules then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So that, yeah, and you'll see all these other things that...
So when I went online and looked at the pictures, I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, okay. So I don't want people to get confused with syphilis because a lot of times right now it is being passed on through men who have sex with men.
Yeah.
That is one of the demographics that's been highly affected. But I want everybody to know that it is contagious through skin-to-skin contact. So when you're in the grocery store, you're not necessarily going to get it unless you brush up against somebody that's got an open sore. And
we sound pretty safe.
Yeah. But again, anybody can get it. So, you know, make sure if you're taking care of somebody that has it, keep the wounds covered, wear a mask, keep good hygiene, clean everything.
Gloves are
important as well.
Okay.
And, of course, contact your healthcare provider immediately.
Yeah. Well, now, what's the treatment on that?
The treatment?
It just runs its course?
Yeah. So they do have some stuff that it just came out and is approved. I can't pronounce the names of them. But there is a Jynneos vaccine that we have, and it starts with a T, tetravirin. But, again, it is self-limiting. So it'll go away within 21 days. So,
and when it goes away, it's gone, right?
It's gone. It doesn't come back.
It's not masquerading and coming back later. Okay.
No, it'll go away. And good. So you can do an Epsom salt bath and use lidocaine if you have it and isolate. So make sure you're isolating from that.
And, like, what kind of numbers do we have in our county? Do we know, are there a lot of people with this or not really any? Or
We had 3 confirmed and 2 possible. So it could be up to 5.
Okay. And so... And within 6 weeks, if we don't get more numbers, we'll be going back down, right? So it's like, okay.
And we are doing a vaccination clinic this Saturday at the Pride event from 12 to 5. And you can register at myturn.ca.gov, but walk-ins are welcome as well.
Oh, good. Okay. Is there anything else you think we should add to that before we go ahead and take a break?
No, just stay healthy.
Yeah, good job. Okay, love it. All right, so this is Trudy Pratt, and we are doing the KCNR thing here. We're covering for Carl and Linda Bott, and we'll be right back.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Get ready to hit the trails running with more epic adventure. Come down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play our $77,000 Fall into 4x4 Swipe to Win promotion. Swipe daily to win free slot play and prizes. Weekly free play drawings Saturdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Drawings every half hour. Winners receive bonus entries into the final drawings August 27th or September 24th, where one winner will win a brand new Can-Am Outlander or Maverick. For all the details, visit WindRiver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, If we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Morning, and we're back. I'm Trudy Pratt, and I'm a chiropractor here in Reading, and I'm just filling in for Carl and Linda today. We're having some fun. It's hard to not be excited when the weather is this nice. So Liam is going to come back and talk about the weather again. Liam, you want to just take everybody through it again?
I'm so excited. So yeah, today we have a 50% chance of rain, as well as thunderstorms. Tomorrow, a 40% chance of thunderstorms and a 40% chance of rain. I don't know why there's a difference. Oh, today has a high of 72. Tonight, a low of 57. Tomorrow, showers are likely. We have a 70% chance of showers. Wednesday night, thunderstorms and rain, a low of 54. Thursday, we're going to be in the low 80s. Thursday night, 59. Friday, mid to high 80s. So on and so forth. This weather is beautiful, and it's amazing.
Good horseback riding weather. Can't wait. Okay, well, thanks for that.
Yeah.
And then we'll be talking about the weather again, probably 8:30, because we just can't stop talking about it. So thank you, Liam.
I got you.
Yeah. Okay, so here in the studio, we have a new guest, and her name is Christine Stewart. Welcome, Christine.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. So you are an RN, and then you are also the supervisor of clinic operations and in the cardiovascular surgery section. I'm kind of slaughtering that a little bit over at Mercy. Tell me what your job is.
No worries. I supervise the outpatient clinic for cardiovascular surgery patients. So anyone that goes through our cardiovascular surgery program comes through our doors.
Okay, yeah. Wonderful. Okay, well, welcome. And, you know, we're talking about healing touch and Reiki today. And also, we have Sadie Kruger still here because we wouldn't let her leave. And one of her gifts to the world is that she is also a Reiki practitioner and a healing touch practitioner. And what are these things I'm saying? Like, what is this stuff? I'm saying weird words, and people are just waking up and they're wondering. So, Christine, why don't you kind of start telling us about healing touch?
Okay, great. Well, healing touch is a gentle heart-centered energy therapy that we've used the hands as facilitators to help balance energy fields around in the human body. And it is a loving, heart-centered therapy that helps people to relax. It is useful for pain relief. It is incredible for cancer pain relief, surgical pain relief, depression, anxiety, and it's useful in many aspects of healing with patients that are maybe. So let's talk about healing. I'm sorry, I want to break this up a little bit. Healing versus curing. So healing touch and Reiki, we're not in the business of curing. We are integrative therapies, right, that are used with traditional medicine. So we're not ever saying to only go to a healing touch practitioner or a Reiki practitioner. We are here to support the patient in their healing journey. And okay. And healing actually comes from a Latin word that it is halen, that means to make whole. And so when we talk about healing, we don't talk about necessarily curing, but making somebody whole is physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. based. So if you know that someone is dying, we're not going to cure that patient, but we can help them to make peace and be comfortable with what's happening in their process.
Oh, marvelous. Okay, so then now, correct me if I'm wrong, but somehow this program started a little bit at Mercy and now it's not at Mercy, or kind of walk me through, like, I'm still really excited that somebody in more traditional or conventional healthcare thought that this was important. Is that sort of the right direction?
Yes. So actually there are two of us. Debbie Simon is, she's retired. She actually used to work in the finance department at Mercy, and I was the director of the ICUs. And so we were both kind of working on our own process through becoming certified in Healing Touch, and we both wanted to bring Healing Touch to the hospital on the very same day. It's a fun story. We didn't know each other. So it was really funny that we were doing
it. Oh, my goodness.
I know. So we did. We brought in classes, and we trained multiple people in the hospital. There were over 50 nurses that I trained, and there were many people that Debbie has trained, and she's still training in the community also. And so we had a program where we would be able to use this in the hospital, and we used it a lot in the ICUs. Any of the nurses who had taken course one of Healing Touch were eligible to help, help their patients in any way that they could. And we also started a Heal the Healer Day for the people that work in the hospital.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Yeah.
So they, especially now more than ever, I'm hoping to bring that back. But we still have Healing Touch in the hospital. And so it just depends on who's been trained and who's available to do it.
Now, Sadie, were you trained through that program then when you did your Healing Touch?
Yes, actually with Christine. And I took classes with Debbie's sister with some of the other courses. And I participated in the Heal the Healer. Christine's actually my nurse mentor for the program.
And, oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay, so then what does it take to become, like, if 50 people did it? I mean, what kind of training is that? I know that I participated as a body for you when you were doing your training, and I loved it so much. And so, but it seemed complicated, a lot of training. It was a nice structured technique, a nice format. So how long does that take? Or?
There are five courses in the curriculum for Healing Touch. And so you can start using it right away after your first weekend class, but you won't be certified unless you want to go through the entire course curriculum. And so it's really just a weekend. You can spend, there are classes on Fridays or Saturdays, or Saturdays and Sundays, or sometimes two Saturdays consecutively. And it's, you just spend time together with the group. You learn about healing. You learn about energy work. You learn about energy centers in your body. And you do a lot of practice on yourself and for each other. And that's the beauty of the program, is that you can just, you know, take one weekend and learn enough to help yourself and somebody else. And it's lovely. People love this. They frequently will go on through course three, most people. And if they're very smitten by this and really feel like this is a calling for them, they'll go on to certification, which then you would go to course four and five. And between course four and five to get certified, there are many things that need to happen, including 100 sessions that you document. And it helps you to learn how to manage patient or client. And then you also have a lot of reading to do and reports to write and documentation of case study. It's very involved if you really want to become certified. And Sadie has been through that journey, and there are several others in the community that have been through that journey to become certified. But a general person can just take one weekend and start to use it on themselves and their family.
Oh, wonderful. Now, who trained you?
There was nobody here at the time when I was learning. I took my first class in April of 2008, and I had to go to Sacramento for my first class. And then I found a nurse mentor who was like me. She was an ICU nurse, and she had gone on to do great things. Her name is Rowney Prittenden King, and she was the director for the Scripps Center for Integrative Medicine. And so I went down to San Diego and took my classes. So it's nice that we have classes here in Reading now. People can go to all of them if they want to here, and they don't have to necessarily travel. But it's also lovely if you want to go get, if for nurses or healthcare professionals, massage therapists, chaplains, they can go anywhere in the world and get take a healing touch class and get their credits.
Oh, lovely. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. And so much to talk about. I want people to know what it's like to have a session, and I want to kind of know a little more about Reiki. When I think, Sadie, you're going to talk a little more about Reiki, and I want to kind of hear like what people can expect if they were to call a healing touch practitioner. What's it like, and how much does it cost? So I'm Trudy Pratt, and we'll be right back. Thanks.
Round, round, get around. I get around. Yeah, get around, round, round. I get around.
I get around.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
By 2030, it is estimated that there will be 71 million people aged 65 years old and older in America. As the number of older Americans increases, so will the number of caregivers needed to provide care. According to PSA2 Area Agency on Aging, caregiver burnout can occur. Be aware of the warning signs. Emotional and physical exhaustion. Withdrawal from friends, family, and other loved ones. Loss of interest in activities which you previously enjoyed. Changes in appetite, weight, or sleep patterns. Getting sick more often. Feelings of alienation, helplessness, or hopelessness. Excessive use of alcohol, medications, or sleeping pills. Feeling stressed in a patient's presence. If you recognize the warning signs, contact PSA2 Area Agency on Aging at 530-842-1687 for your free caregiver support books. Call 530-842-1687 or visit our website at psa2.org. While temperatures are heating up outside, cool down as you stroll through Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson. If you are searching for a unique gift for a wedding, anniversary, or special occasion, Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage may have exactly what you're looking for. They have tumblers, goblets, plates, teacups, and saucers, silverware, jewelry, jewelry boxes, necklaces, earrings, elegant pins, rings, cufflinks, and more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
It's time for the Stillwater Powwow at its new location, the Reading Rodeo Grounds, September 30th through October 2nd with free admission. It's the return of beautiful dancers, powerful drummers, and the celebration of our people's culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and the Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow at its new location, the Reading Rodeo Grounds, September 30th through October 2nd with free admission. For information, call 242-4558 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potters, this station, and other sponsors.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
About healing touch, and we're talking Reiki, and we have Sadie Krueger and Christine Stewart right here in the studio with us, and Christine has been explaining what healing touch is. Pretty soon we're going to have Sadie talk about Reiki, but there's more for you to talk about, Christine, with trying to, like, what exactly is a visit like for people?
Okay, well, so it's a little bit different when you're in the hospital versus when you're, you go to someone for a session.
Okay.
And when you're in the hospital, I can give you a couple of examples. You know, it could be something as simple as just a couple of minutes to help someone with their pain or to help relieve a headache. And essentially, you know, the practitioner or the student, they just fill their heart with unconditional love, and they allow that to flow through them to the person who's receiving it. And this is it's a really lovely thing that the person just immediately starts to relax. So you can use your hands either on the person, so you can touch like on the head or on the shoulders or wherever the pain might be, or you can sort of work above the body by using sort of a sweeping motion or petting a cat, you know, how we would use your hands. And that actually just works in the biofield, the human biofield. Some people call it the auric field that surrounds the human energy system. It's around your body. And it helps to actually elicit the relaxation response. And that's a wonderful thing because that then allows your body's natural cellular response to relax, to allow your blood to flow more freely, to lower your blood pressure.
I'm relaxing so much right now. I don't know about you, Sadie.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Go ahead. Just keep talking.
So, I can give you a good example of, like, lowering blood pressure. This is something you can measure, right? Some people say, okay, well, this is kind of woo-woo, right? It's kind of out there. You can't see it. But I was in San Diego co-teaching a class, and my niece happened to be laboring with twins in the hospital right next to where I was teaching. And so I got to go over after class and work with her, and she was admitted early for preeclampsia, hypertension. And so, they already had her on medications, but they really couldn't get her blood pressure down past, 150 systolic, like top number. And so I just started to do healing touch with her. I asked my friend, who was a specialist in the children's area and mothers and babies, and she told me what to do. And so I went in and I started to do that with my niece, and pretty soon her blood pressure went from 158 to 128. And the nurse comes in, and she says, gee, what's going on in here? She saw I was doing healing touch, and they do a lot of that in San Diego. And so she goes, oh, okay, gotcha. And she felt more comfortable. And so that's it. She was the most peaceful laboring mother I've ever seen in my life. When she had a contraction, there was no noise. It was just peaceful. And I had to leave that day, but my sister and brother-in-law had been watching also. My sister had never been trained. The next day, my sister comes in and she starts to just do kind of what I was doing, and she also had an effect. So it's not like you have to be really trained or have a lot of experience to do it and to have an effect. So it's lovely that way.
Oh, wow. So that example is good for a specific problem. Let's say someone is coming for just increased overall wellness. What would their treatment look like? Similar then?
Similar. So let's say you're having a private session, either in their home or in someone's office, and we just have them either lie or be in a position of comfort. So you might lie down on a massage table, fully clothed, or you might be in like a recliner chair, whatever's most comfortable for the person that needs the treatment. And then the healing touch or Reiki practitioner would use their hands either above the body or on the body in very specific places, usually where the joints are on the body and where the chakras are located on your body, But we're really careful also to be, you know, aware of people's privacy and
personal spots,
personal spots, places of discomfort or something, you know. So we don't have to, we ask people, you know, just let us know where you, where you're, if you're, if there's a place of discomfort, you are in charge. You're actually the person that's doing the work here.
Oh, wonderful.
We're just facilitating it.
Okay.
So then people just start to relax. We oftentimes will play some relaxing music. They begin to relax. They often fall asleep. They wake up and they have, you know, maybe had a dream or thoughts, or they just feel like they've melted into the table, and we haven't done any massaging. That's
yeah.
what a treatment is like. Was that what it was yes. like for you,
yes,
Judy?
Absolutely. I felt so balanced. I felt, yeah, so I loved it. I did enjoy it, and so did my husband. You know, he liked participating as well. So let's move over to Reiki then, you know. So okay. What is it?
It's right. A weird word.
It's also it's an energy modality where you're channeling energy into the body and helping facilitate relaxation. And, yeah, and it's similar to what Christine was saying, the Reiki treatments, they last about 50 minutes, and you lie on the massage table fully clothed. And with Reiki, there's a series of about 12 to 15 different hand positions, and it could vary where they put their hand positions, but usually it's on the different chakras. And you may experience the energy form of sensations like heat, tingling, pulsing, where the practitioner puts their hands. And, yeah, people feel very peaceful, relaxed. It can help decrease negative emotions, increase positive emotions, quiet the inner critic, strengthen empathy, increase compassion, decrease migraine pain and tension, decrease chronic pain, and even slow the aging process is one of the benefits.
Sign me up.
I know. And I thought it was interesting that Dr. Oz is such a big promoter of Reiki. His wife is a Reiki master, and so he's been using it and as a cardiologist, and he thinks it's the next frontier of medicine,
wow.
actually. So go Dr. Oz.
I know. Mm-hmm. So tell me about the momentum of, like, Reiki and healing touch in our town. Like, do you feel – I mean, I know COVID kind of destroyed a little bit of a forward motion, but do you just feel like it's just sitting there waiting to come back, or like, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I saw a big shift to remote healing. So yeah, a lot of people, they didn't want a hands-on, somebody really close to them kind of session. And so yeah, there was a big shift in what can we do remotely, how can we still, you know, positively affect the other person. So that was really fun. And it's similar to prayer, right? You're in your heart, you're visualizing the person whole and healed, and maybe calling in a higher power and sending them, you know, the best, most positive energy that you can. And in some of the healing touch and Reiki, it's a little more visualization that goes with that, and a lot of prep work. You do a lot more meditation and visualization. But anybody can do it, just with simple prayer and intention as well.
So you could do it to yourself
mm-hmm.
by laying
yes.
your hands on
yeah,
anywhere,
one of my favorite is the loving kindness meditation, where you put your hand on your heart. So just that simply. And so you just sit in a comfortable seated position where you won't be disturbed. And you can choose a phrase, or imagine yourself sitting in a large, warm ray of sunlight. And imagine the light filling you completely, physically and emotionally, with wellness and peace. And then fill the love and kindness, fill your body as it's liquid sunshine.
Ooh.
And then repeat a phrase to yourself silently while you focus on sending unconditional love and kindness to yourself. So one of the phrases you might say is, may I be happy. May I be healthy. May I feel peace. May I be safe. May I live with ease. And you continue to repeat throughout the length of your meditation, whether it's 2 minutes or 20 minutes. And I did that, and I could immediately feel my heart rate go down.
Yeah.
So and
I'm holding my hand on my heart just like you are.
Mm-hmm.
That alone is profound, isn't it? So I'm feeling.
And you could do that same process, but visualize somebody else and visualize their healing. So that's another way that you can do a remote healing for somebody else.
They're actually using that at Stanford also. These are modalities that are used all over the place in hundreds of hospitals across the nation and the world. And Stanford, when COVID hit, they started their Healing Partners program, and they've been doing that for years. They hook up oncology patients with a Healing Touch practitioner, and they started doing it by phone because it's still that contact, it's still the intention. So it's always holding that positive, loving intention for another.
Oh, nice. Well, I know that my sister does Reiki at my office, and also she does it out at the ranch where I keep my horse on the horses, and it's just profound. I love watching the whole experience unfold for people, and I would say often people will report that they feel like they're in the womb, and it's like, and they don't really want to come out, you know? It's like, okay, you should probably come out.
And I'm glad you said your horse, because animals love energy work. They just love it, and they respond really well to it.
Oh, marvelous. Well, this concludes our show today, this part of the show. And so I want to thank both of you for coming on. There's so much to learn. I wish we could just talk about this all day long. So thank you both, and we're going to take a hard break here. You're listening to KCNR 1460. We'll be back at 8, a little after 8.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Water. Well, the White House communications staff having to do it again, having to explain what President Biden really meant to say.
When asked during an interview on 60 Minutes whether U.S. forces would defend Taiwan if it is attacked by China, the president said yes. It marks the fourth time he has made a similar statement regarding the island territory. Each time, White House officials rushed to clarify Mr. Biden's statements, explaining there was no change in U.S. policy. China criticized the president's latest comment. Greg Clugston, Washington.
What issues do Americans care about the most heading into the midterm elections? Democrat Party leaders seem to think that abortion tops the list.
Democrats are pumping an unprecedented amount of money into advertising related to abortion rights. The spending underscores how central the message is to the party in the final weeks before midterms. The most intense period of campaigning is only just beginning, and Democrats have already invested more than an estimated $124 million this year into TV ads referencing abortion. That's twice as much money as the Democrats' next top issue, and almost 20 times more than Democrats spent on abortion-related ads in the 2018 midterms. Tayshia Stevens reporting.
It's a record. The number of illegal aliens pouring across the border into the U.S. surpassing 2 million in the current fiscal year, which doesn't end until the end of the month. Wall Street, the Dow down 323 points, and NASDAQ is off 68. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Charlie Dombeck here from Key City Capital. As a practicing CPA for nearly 30 years, I have found that 80% of your ability to grow your wealth is dependent upon two factors, taxes and investment performance. At Key City Capital, we improve investment performance by diversifying capital into off-market investment opportunities in passive rental real estate and alternatives like asset-backed lending. We recover dollars that clients unnecessarily pay in the form of income taxes, creating a lifetime annuity of savings. We are a sponsor of passive, affordable single and multifamily residential rental investments, which are located in Sunbelt landlord-friendly states. These investments are the top choices in a rising interest rate and inflationary environment. They represent a store of value, protecting your capital from market volatility. Learn how we at Key City Capital can help you ultimately grow your wealth rapidly. Connect with me at keycitycapital.com or give me a call at 817-912-1569.
China announcing a major investment in one of the jurisdictions it controls.
Shanghai was hit hard by an extended COVID lockdown earlier this year, prompting an unusual outpouring of anger directed at the authorities on social media. Tuesday's announcement is a clear attempt to turn things around by pouring billions back into the city. The money will be used to build new railway lines and affordable housing, as well as offshore wind turbines and upgraded drinking water facilities. Shanghai's strict two-month lockdown led its economy to slump almost 14% in the second quarter of the year.
The BBC's Celia Hatton. Palestinian security forces exchanging fire with terrorists in the center of the West Bank's second-largest city as angry residents pelted an armored jeep with objects and chased it away. One man was reported dead in that violence. News and analysis at townhall.com. The federal government turns down a request by a regional airline to hire pilots with half the flying experience generally required.
The Federal Aviation Administration says it's in the public interest to uphold the current standards. Republic Airways petitioned to hire first officers or co-pilots with 750 hours of flying time if they completed Republic's training program. In most cases, people need 1,500 hours of flying time to qualify for an airline pilot's license, although pilots with military experience can qualify at 750 hours. Republic argued that its training would be similar to the military's. Keith Peters reporting.
Sweden's central bank raising its key interest rate a full percentage point to 1.75%, saying inflation is too high, undermining households' purchasing power, making it tough for companies and households to plan their finances. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Hi, welcome back. I'm Trudy Pratt, and I'm sitting in for Carl and Linda today. So if you're just waking up, I want to welcome you to the show. And, you know, we can't stop talking about the weather here. So, Liam, are you there?
I am here.
You feel like telling everyone again just how marvelous it is?
Man, this is exciting. So today we have a high of 72, a chance of thunderstorms, and a 50% chance of rain. Tonight, thunderstorms and chance of showers. We have a low of 57, so you get to sleep with your window open.
Ah!
Wednesday, a 70% chance of showers. With a high of 71. Wednesday night, low of 54, slight chance of thunderstorms, and this will be partly cloudy. Thursday, we're going to have a high of 80. It's going to be sunny. Thursday night, clear, low of 59. Friday, high of 86. Friday night, low of 61. And then Saturday, we're going to be in the low 90s. So hopefully we won't be seeing those triple digits for about a year. Hopefully.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Fingers crossed.
Okay, I've got mine crossed. All right, thank you, Liam.
Yeah.
All right, so in the studio right now, we're being visited by Exodus Farms, and we have Jenny Patterson and Ginger Salido, and I want to welcome both of you.
Good morning.
Morning. Yeah, nice to have you here. And I know that I just think how I want us to kind of work as a group instead of me asking you a question and then you a question. I just want to like kind of open it up so we're all having a conversation. Does that sound like a good format?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I originally got in touch with you, Ginger, I was really concerned about the, you know, the age group of young men, 18 to 24, who are just really having a tough time out there, or so that's what we're told constantly. And so I kind of felt like maybe in our town we could all reach deep and try to help that age group. And then when I got you on the phone, your program ends at age 18, and I sort of scrapped my idea. And I went with your program because it's so lovely, and you're doing such deep work. And so why don't you just start by telling our listeners what the heck you do down there at Exodus?
So, Trudy, we have a program. It's more a mentorship program for children between 5 and 18. Our kids come to us because they're severely emotionally broken from emotional trauma. And so our kids are referred to us from all different agencies, county agencies, educators, principals, therapists. But our kids have been through the worst of emotional trauma. A lot of people don't realize how much sexual, physical abuse is in our county that our children go through. A lot of our kids are living with addiction in their home. They might have parents incarcerated. We have a fairly big population of children who've lost one or both parents. Drug overdose, violence, you know, it's just what our county has produced because of the high rate of addiction in our county, which, you know, leads to crime and everything else. But the children are the byproduct of this. So this is the population we serve.
Okay, love it. So that is, you were saying something like your program, do you have 160 kids?
We have 167 on the roster right now. That doesn't mean that all of them come at the same time.
Right.
Obviously. But different ones will enroll for our summer sessions or our fall sessions or our winter sessions.
Okay. And so, tell us what a visit looks like, because right now we haven't really even said the word horse yet. We're just talking about the messed up kids.
Yeah. Okay. So everybody wants to hear about the horse. Yeah. So what we do is we have a herd of horses that also have been discarded, abused. Some of them have just had great homes, but owners no longer can or are able to care for them. So our herd is very eclectic. But they're perfect for our kids because our kids relate to each and every horse's story. We match one child, one volunteer, and one horse for about an hour session. And as Jenny said, some of our kids come weekly. Some of our kids come twice a month. If they've been coming a long time, there's some stability there. But we still want to mentor and pour into their lives. So they spend about an hour when they're on the farm. They always do a chore with their wrangler.
Now, what's a wrangler?
A wrangler is our horse volunteer. So we have lots of volunteers represented at the farm. But our wranglers are those that are comfortable enough around horses that they can facilitate a child's ride. I have a lot of people ask me, you know, I'm not really well-versed in trauma or I don't have the background. And we always tell people our kids really just need people that love them and are invested in them. We're a faith-based program, so we believe God uses the farm and the horse, and he does the rest. And even if you're not from that side of the fence, to be out on a farm with fresh air and animals, and there's just something about the horse that animal's sensitivity to their environment, because they're a fright and flight animal, they're very sensitive to the kids and where they're at. And it's so cool to just watch the three in that group work together. So they ride for about 40, 45 minutes, and that's it. And yet every time they come out, we see shut down, no smiles, no eye contact, no communication. And about halfway into their ride, we see kids that are laughing and smiling. They're looking at us. They're having conversations. They'll answer questions. So it's pretty cool to watch it happen.
So, and what do you attribute that to? I mean, the horse is a little bit of a healer, but you were talking about like the kind of the swaying motion of just being on a horse.
Yeah, so therapeutically, a lot of the counselors and therapists that have visited and come to our farm over the years have said that there's something about the swaying motion of a horse. We all know that it really helps people with walking issues, spinal issues, brain injuries, because it simulates the gait in a human. But they're now finding that it really helps people with emotional issues, that they're able to access both sides of the brain. And we have had therapists that have sat on the rail and watched their kid ride. And one instance, this little girl was just blah-blahing to her wrangler about her mom. You know, my mom did this, and my mom's not there anymore, and my mom that. And the therapist who was sitting watching, he looked at me and he goes, I've been trying to get that child to talk about her mom for 6 months. And I'm like, well, the horse is an awesome tool.
So
that's the sort of dynamic that happens. And I think it's an environment out there where they know they're loved. They know they're accepted for just exactly where they're at. And the other thing is, which most of our kids haven't experienced, is they know they're encouraged out there. We're constantly telling them, you can do it. Don't quit. You've got this. Where a lot of these kids that have taken care of themselves, no matter what the breakdown is in the home, they've never had a cheerleader. And for those of us that had really solid homes, our moms and our dads were our cheerleaders. They were the ones who said, you can do this. So I think it's a combination of all those things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. What would you add to that, Jenny?
So many of these kids have never had an opportunity to build trust with anyone or anything that they know is going to actually be there for them. And I've got a story that dovetails off what you were saying. The horse is a great immediate mirror
of what's going on inside the kid. And so it opens up some of those discussions just because you can see what's going on, because you can see what's going on with the horse. I was working with a kid with a younger horse that we have, a big Appaloosa Frisian cross named Gilead, and he was getting a little nervous about tractor going by something, and I thought, that's not normal for that horse. That horse is not a nervous horse. He's very confident. But the child was just overrun with anxiety, and apparently this is something that she has dealt with for years on a regular basis. And so we started talking about, hey, what if you thought about, instead of the worst thing that could happen, what if you thought about the best thing that could happen in this moment? What if you imagined that horse being perfect? And the next time the tractor came by, the child kind of froze up and the horse went, and you could see him just, oh no, do I need to do something? And I went, what if he stood perfectly still and was great? And the kid let out this big sigh, and the horse let out this big sigh, and they both just stood there rock solid as this tractor went past. And that child, the kid, you know, she turned and looked at me and she said, this is the best day ever. Because for the first time maybe ever, she realized she had some control over what she was feeling. She could affect her own environment and the people and creatures around her and what she was feeling internally. She didn't have to just be subject to her own emotions.
Empowering, huh?
Yeah, and I will add to that because it's something we talk about at the ranch all the time. A lot of times with traditional therapy, the focus is on that individual's emotions. And that's not always successful for kids. Kids already know how they feel. And they don't like how that feels, just like that little gal with anxiety. So I think it's so empowering for our kids, and it also helps them find those tools to succeed in this world when we can show them, just as Jenny did, you have control over those emotions, which leads to self-control, which leads to so many tools that will help them survive the times we're in and to be successful adults. And it's really interesting, too, because when you work with a horse, if you just let your emotions come into the equation, there's usually a wreck that comes after that. Because the horse is so sensitive to how we feel. And one of my biggest advice pieces to my leaders and my volunteers is you got to put your emotions aside. If you come out to the ranch and you're angry or you're frustrated or, you know, all those things, you have to really make a conscious effort to say, I'm going to interact with this animal and I'm not going to allow the day's emotions to come into this equation. And it's very interesting to see that those people are the most successful in their horsemanship. And then when we translate that to our kids, now they can take that to school, where they would have just slammed some kid against the wall because they have all this anger about how their life is going. Now they're learning, I'm going to reel this in and just breathe for a minute. And these aren't, you know, all of us are laymen, but just to see what good horsemanship does helps them.
Perfect. Okay, so we are going to take just a quick break. I hate to interrupt you because you're just in the flow, but I know you'll get it back. So this is Trudy Pratt. I'm having a great day, and we are going to take a little break here, and we'll be right back. Thanks.
I think I like when it rains.
Tired of listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Carlene's and Deja Vu Restaurants.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
My tuber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Gold Leaf Nursery is open. Have you noticed all the different colors of crepe myrtles blooming? We have several varieties and colors. Dwarf size, semi-dwarf, up to full size to choose from, and right now they're on sale. They are drought tolerant, and it's a great time to buy. Gold Leaf Nursery carries a large selection of water-resistant shrubs and trees. We have our summer sale going on now with 20% off 1 gallon through 24-inch box trees. Gold Leaf Nursery, located on Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road, across from the Tucker Oaks Golf Course.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Welcome back. I'm Trudy Pratt, and I'm sitting in for Carl and Linda, and we are having some good info here in the studio today. We have Jenny Patterson and Ginger Salito of Exodus Farms, and they are looking all cute here with their black T-shirts and their nice-looking font, Exodus Farms. Loving it. So we were going to talk about some of these kind of low-function kids that we have in our county, and that maybe our stats for our county aren't really that good, and people should probably know that.
Yeah,
we want we need some facts right in the face. We can handle it.
So Shasta County, in 2018, when they did one of the last surveys, ACE scores in this county, and I'll tell you what those are in a minute. It's a measure of adverse child experiences. ACE scores in this county were between 50% and 75% higher, depending on which score you measured, than in the rest of the United States. So we were not doing well in terms of the mental, physical, emotional health of our county's children.
And what age are they testing that?
So they're testing that up a child's life before age 18. So an ACE score measures a child's exposure to certain adverse experiences before the age of 18. And these are experiences they found that put that child at risk for long-term chronic stress leading to physical health problems, to mental health problems, and other life issues. And so those are going to be things like recurrent physical abuse, recurrent emotional sexual abuse, alcohol or drug abuse in the household that they're exposed to all the time, household member who's been incarcerated, someone in the household who was maybe institutionalized for, you know, severe mental illness issues, chronically depressed or suicidal, having you know, parental spousal abuse going on in the household, even if the child isn't part of that abuse, also is on that ACE chart, and then severe emotional or physical neglect. So they measure if a child has been exposed to any or all of those, and the higher the ACE score, the more that child is at risk for long-term harm. Most of the children we work with in our program, the highest ACE score is 9, and most of our children, I would say, are between a 7 and a 9.
And 10 being the worst?
9 being
nine,
the worst.
9, it's out of 9, okay.
It's out of 9.
Yeah.
Those are sobering statistics, but I do think that there are a lot of programs in this county, and there are a lot of people in this county who see that and who are starting to do something and who are reaching out with hope and with resources. And the longer that we've done this work, the more that we have gotten connected to other agencies and other people here who have a heart to help children and who are trying to do something about this and who are trying to flip that generational script of trauma that gets repeated and repeated, and break in before that becomes one more generation of issues.
One of the things that Jenny touched on in a general term, but those high ACE scores, so most of those kids that test that high, it's very typical for them to fall into addiction. That's one of the biggest risks with a high ACE score. So I always tell people, if you want to see things change in the county, invest in the kids. Invest in the
Makes
kids.
Sense. Yeah.
Because keep them from going that same path. Right now, they're just victims of a horrific home situation. I tell people this all the time. We're always so, you know, the homeless thing is awful, and it is. It's awful for a crime, for the condition of our city. It's awful, awful for those individuals. But what people don't realize when they see that homeless population, almost every single homeless person you see, there is one to 7 or 8 children represented that either are in a horrific situation or they've been taken out of one, because some of these folks just keep having kids every year. And now a huge demographic of what we serve are children who have been in utero exposed to methamphetamine, heroin, alcohol, or all three. And it causes real physical issues in the brain that prevent that child from able to function successfully in school or socially. So, you know, I tell people we can't look the other way. We have to somehow save this generation. Because I'm 66, and the younger generation will take care of the older generation. And right now it doesn't look too good.
Yeah, it's looking a little grim.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and then the other thing I always say, Trudy, and it's just how I feel, is we go crazy when there's a litter of puppies found in a homeless camp. But those camps are full of kids. You don't see them because they're feral and they're very smart, and parents are very smart. Our children only learn what is modeled to them. So these kids learn how to manipulate, to hide, but nobody thinks about that. Nobody worries that there's actual children living in those situations, living in homes in those situations. Sorry.
Nope. That's,
a great aside.
We get, so many of our people love to hear about the horse rescue and the horse piece of it. And so many of our horses' stories mirror so many of our children's stories. And that's actually why we take a lot of these horses in. It's very common for horses to go through home after home after home after home, passed on either because of financial issues, behavior problems, that somebody just grew out of them, doesn't want them anymore. It's very tragically common for our children to go through multiple foster homes, either, you know, and not always the foster parents' choice, but they move from place to place to place. We have children who, before the age of 11, have been through 14 foster homes. If you can imagine trying to move and learn a new family's rules every year or more than once a year for any child, even one raised in a stable environment initially, that would be difficult. But for a child who's known no stability ever, that is shattering. And so we talk to the kids about our horses' stories and talk to people about our horses' stories and say, this is what's happening, this thing that has happened to this horse, being passed from home to home to home, some of which might have been good, some of which might have been bad. They have collected a variety of trauma, abuse, coping mechanisms, and similarly, so have our kids. And when the kids and the volunteers see the transformation in the horse, it gives them hope. And they say, oh, if that horse can experience all those things and go through all those homes and overcome its own, you know, biting, behavior problems, trauma, spooking, anxiety, I can do that too. I can overcome these things. And it gives them a chance as they walk the horse through it to walk out of it themselves.
Mm. One thing just to add on to that, what Ginny had said, our horses become very, very important to our kids. So because of that, when we adopt a horse, and I always tell people we're not a horse rescue, even though we rescued them, we're a kid rescue.
Yeah.
But our horses, once they come into our herd and we make sure they're safe, it's going to be a good fit for our children and our volunteers, they're there till the end of their lives. Because there's a stability that our children have missed that it just really transfers over to those horses. And I don't know if we have time now, but I'll share a story about how important that is.
I think what we'll do is we'll come back with that story. Right now we're going to head to a break again.
Okay.
And I feel hope, but I also have a little lump in my throat, you know, like this, some pretty tough info you're sharing today, but important.
Yeah.
So you're listening to KCNR and I'm Trudy Pratt and don't go away. We'll be right back.
Join Turtle Bay and Dutch Bros Coffee on Thursday, September 22nd for Caffeinate for a Cause from 7 to 9 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m. $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas go towards supporting Turtle Bay's educational programs. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Your story begins here. Voted 2021 Best in the North State to hold a work event. Book your event and let Wind River Resort and Casino make your dreams a reality. From our experienced staff, full setup and cleanup, on-site catering, full-service spa, luxurious hotel, and certified wedding and event planner. Come see what we have to offer. We guarantee you'll be amazed. 530-339-7454 or visit windriver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary, you just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hey KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to readingcivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
Join Turtle Bay and Dutch Bros Coffee on Thursday, September 22nd for Caffeinate for a Cause. From 7 to 9 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m., $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas go towards supporting Turtle Bay's educational programs. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back. We're just cruising through an interesting show with Exodus Farms. They're right here with me. And let's go ahead, Ginger, and go ahead and bring this next story in. I'm just learning so much.
But Trudy, we were talking about how our horses, once adopted by us, stay with us till the end of their lives. And what came to mind is an incredible story of a young lady. We had a preschool come out to visit us, and all the moms and dads were on the rail. And as usual, Jenny and I were short volunteers. So I was like, hey, any of you moms or dads have any horse experience just to walk alongside and keep, you know, sidewalk is what we call it. And this one mom, so quiet the whole morning, she holds her hand up. She didn't even speak. She's like, her hand's in the air. And I said, you have horse experience? She goes, yeah, I used to ride out here. She was so soft-spoken. I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, I used to ride out here. I used to come out to Exodus as one of your kids. She said, I rode Missy. And Missy was one of our old timers. She'd been with us from day one. And I said, I think I remember you. And she goes, yeah, Jenny used to pick me up and I would come out and ride Missy.
And she's one of the first two kids I taught.
Yeah.
Wow.
I said, well, Missy is still here. And she had her two little toddlers. And as timid as she could be, she said, yeah, I'm a mom of two now, and I'm a good mom because of what you guys taught me. And I was just like, well,
yeah, tears.
So I said, well, you hang it, you know, stick around and we'll do some family pictures with Missy. So we brought Missy out and put her two babies on Missy, and to see this mommy put her kids on her horse. And even as an adult who was successful as a mom, to see that her horse was still there, she was deeply touched. So you never know how that's going to affect people. But our kids will come out all the time and say, hey, is my horse still out here? I used to ride Callie. Is she still here? And we're able to show them. And the ones that have already gone home, we're able to sit and talk with them about that, too.
Yeah.
And that's one of the neat things about the farm is we want our children to heal, and we want their hearts to feel better. But as someone who watched this personally as a child went through this kind of trauma and hurt, I could see how easy it would be to get stuck in that trauma and that pain. So I, as a self-employed individual all my life, also wanted to see people get back into, you know, back in the pool, get back and become a participating, successful person in your community. Because so many times we take emotional trauma and we're like, oh, Jenny, that's terrible. We're going to help you out. We're going to relieve you from ever working again because it's just too much. It's too much for you to work through. And I don't think that's right. I think we need to give people the tools to, you conquer that. You conquer that trauma. You figure out how to leave it in the past and then figure out how to help others with it. And that's why we are so driven at the ranch about, let's teach these kids good skills, work ethic, stewardship of the animals, care for the animals, respect for God's creation. Reliability, when you're supposed to be somewhere, be there. Our kids are more upset about their parents not making their appointment on time than the parents are because we've been able to talk to them about reliability is huge. Nobody will hire you if you're not reliable. We talk about leadership all the time because if you're a horse person, you know that if you don't show just good quality leadership, that horse is just going to push you around all day long. A perfect example of that, we had a little guy out there with Missy, oddly enough, and he was only 6 or 7. Mom had just gotten him back from foster care, and he was just kind of, you know, absentmindedly, the horse is dragging him here and there, and I'm like, hey, Eric, you got to be strong. Set your shoulders, put your eyes where you want to go next, and show that horse where he's going. He's doing that because he has no idea where you want to take him. I said, you have to be a good leader for Missy. She needs you to watch over her and lead her appropriately. So we practiced that around the barn a few times, and his mom was sitting on the bench, and he whips his head around, and he goes, Mom, look it, I'm a leader.
Oh.
And he was so thrilled.
Yeah.
But just those little things that you pour in, that it might have been our aunts, our moms, our grandparents that did it for us. These kiddos haven't had anybody pour in that kind of hope and excitement for their future. I think our kids all have an incredible future. I think our Exodus kids have tons of potential, but they also have tons of setbacks. And so we have to instill in them incredible fortitude and stick-with-itness.
Yeah, stick-with-itness.
That you can do this. I know it looks impossible, but you got this. You can do it.
One of the things that's interesting to me is your contact time is going to be, what, an hour and 15 minutes a week, or actually every other week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just to explain that a little, when our kids, when we do intake, if we have a child that's high crisis, and again, most of our community is unaware, but we have kids that are 9 and 10 years old that have repeatedly tried to take their lives. Met a little guy years ago. He was 6 the first time he tried to take his life. So when we know they're high crisis, in other words, they're trying to end their life, or they're harm to somebody else perhaps, then we get them in as soon as we can, and we make it happen where they're there every week. But as they find stability and they find success at school and they're doing good in foster care or group care or wherever they may be, then they go to twice a month. So, yeah, sometimes our hands-on for the majority of their time is 2 hours a month. But it changes lives.
Yeah.
I mean, it changes lives.
That's sort of the proof in the pudding right there. I mean, you're not with them 6 hours a day. No. Yeah.
No. And what?
And sometimes we see kids for one session.
Yeah.
And it's life-changing. I tell a story about a girl that I met early on. She was only there one time. She was 10 years old. And all we did was go on a little trail ride, little pony ride around the track. And she talked to me about butterflies and pointed out everything she was seeing. And we got off the horse. The social worker drove away. And then the van came screeching back in the driveway. And the social worker jumped out of the van and came marching across to me and goes, what did you do to this child? I'm like, oh, no. Now I think I've done something wrong. I took her on a ride. And the social worker starts to tear up and goes, no, you have no idea. This child doesn't speak. She doesn't speak to anyone. And since she got back in the van, she has not stopped talking about riding the pony. If that social worker hadn't come back and said something, we would have had no idea.
Just another pony ride.
And we only saw her once. But it radically changed something that had been a barrier in her life.
Mm. Yeah. It almost seems unreal, but I believe everything you're saying, but it's just, it's still kind of the shock of it and the appreciation I have for this.
And, you know, one of the things, I'm out in the community, I talk to people all the time about kids because it's what I'm passionate about. But I hear this all the time, you know, I can't make a difference. What can I do? It's the problem's too big. It's too bad. And two quotes to come to mind. Winston Churchill said, do what you can with what you have where you're at. Which just what we've learned, 2 hours a month radically changes a child's life. It's not the horse that changes it. It's the fact that somebody's willing to say, you matter to me. I think you have value and I believe in you. And that 2 hours of that is what changes lives. We all need to hear that from somebody. And the other quote, I forgot what the other quote was. It'll come to me. But I tell, especially our senior population, we have so many seniors and retired folk in our community. They have so much wisdom and treasures to impart into these kids. So many of our kids, they don't have grandparents. They've died. So many of our children have lost two generations of their family to drug addiction.
Oh, dear.
But to have a senior talk to them and invest in them like a grandparent is huge. And it does make a difference. It makes a huge difference. I can't emphasize enough, these kids have no sense of self-worth because nobody has taken the time to show them they're valuable. Mm. So there are so many ways one individual can make a difference. Doesn't have to be on our ranch. Doesn't have to be with a horse. Could be just, you know, as much as inviting a kid in to learn how to make a cake or to build a birdhouse or just let's just water the flowers. You know, we are surrounded in our community by children that are lost and don't feel that they belong to anybody. So,
and you have no idea what just your simple supportive presence is doing for that child. It takes so little hope to save a life. It's hope and love are so powerful, and it takes so little to radically change these children and to set them on a totally different life path, because maybe they've just never seen that modeled. Maybe they've never known an adult who shows up and you know, hey, can I help you with your homework? Can I, you know, drive you to your new job? Like, there are things that you can do that seem, people say, oh, that seems like not enough. It seems so minimal. It is not meaningless to these children. It is not minimal to these children. Just you showing up is huge.
We had, I see her face. I can't remember her name, but we had a young lady that her social worker brought her right from the hospital from an attempt on her life. And she came out the following week, and she'd been out there before, but really struggled with a lot of self-image issues and who she was. She was in foster care. Foster care is hard on these kids. They don't understand. Why am I in this new home? Why aren't I with mom and dad? A lot of these foster kids, there might be a sibling or two that's still with mom and dad, but they're in foster care. They really don't understand that. So the following...
That is confusing.
Yeah. The following week, because I'll forget it, the hardest thing on me being there, and so we're faith-based, but here's our children come from all different backgrounds, as do our volunteers, but we do pray before the kids ride. And as a horse person that's been in the hospital multiple times because of horses,
it's a good idea.
It's a good practice. The hardest thing, if somebody said, what's the hardest thing you have to endure at the ranch, is when we have those kids that sit on that horse and they say, just pray somebody will adopt me. Just pray. I've been praying and praying for somebody to adopt me. We had a little girl that all three of her siblings were adopted, and she was not. I can't even imagine what that feels like. And for them to ask week after week. And these are, they're good kids. But this one young lady, she came back the week after she came, after the hospital visit. And her leader that was working with her, and she worked one-on-one because of the high crisis in her life. And I can't remember word for word, and you might, but Kel said, how are you today? And she said, today I'm good because I knew I was coming out here.
Oh.
And that's like, that's how they teeter all the time.
Okay, based on that lovely story, we're going to take another little quick break because that's what we do here, and then we'll be back for our last segment. And so you're listening to KCNR 1460. I'm Trudy Pratt. I'm filling in for Carl and Linda, and we'll be back shortly.
I want to turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find with everyone. We'll sing and dance to Mother Nature's songs. I don't want this feeling to go away.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
This is KCNR Radio, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, and streaming live at KCNR1460.com with Carl and Linda Bott.
I'm Max Steiner, the Democratic candidate for Congress here in CD1. I am a combat veteran and a political moderate. I am pro-timber, pro-gun, pro-choice, and pro-America. I am not a typical woke Democrat, and I am not a career politician. My legislative priorities as your representative would cut across party lines. We need to protect the fundamentals of our democracy. We must reduce fire risk by thinning our forests, strengthening the timber industry, and hiring more firefighters. We need to build more dams to reduce the impacts of climate change. We should codify Roe v. Wade into law. Finally, we must ensure security abroad with a strong military and security at home with strong police forces. We need to make big changes in Washington. If we keep voting for the incumbents, nothing will ever change. We need politicians who will put principles over party, politicians who will say no to the far left and the far right. We need politicians who will truly put America first. In November, I would be honored to earn your vote.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441. To let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Welcome back. Talking to Exodus Farms, and we're finishing up with Jenny Patterson and Ginger Salito. And gals, I'm learning so much, and my heart is warm. So go ahead. We talked during the break that you better talk about how you pay for this.
So a lot of people say, you know, how do we get a kid involved? And you can always call us. But most of our children are referred through Shasta County services of one type or another, through educators, sometimes through social workers. And the wonderful thing about our program is there's no red tape or, you know, applying for, it is free of charge, always has been. Every child that has come out there has ridden there completely free of charge. Every person that works with our kids, including myself, Jenny, my leaders, we are all volunteers. We all feel so strongly about this that we invest our time and our spare time, and we love it. It's the most rewarding thing we've ever done. But that is amazing. Another amazing fact about our farm is that in this community where people are working two and three jobs to make a household work, we have about 90 volunteers that serve us weekly. That's huge for a small program.
Definitely.
Like this. Huge. So we're supported mostly by private donation. Most of our monthly support are from aunts, uncles, people far away that have read our stories, follow us on our Facebook page. And it's those donors that send that $10 or $20 a month that really pay our bills, because they're there for us every month. But that's what keeps us going and keeps us ticking.
Yeah, the community support is amazing. It's one of the things that has shown me how rich and vibrant and supportive a community Reading actually is how many people just come out of the woodwork to say, hey, we want to help with this. How can we help you? Can we sponsor a horse? Can we donate? Most of our horses, people ask, well, gosh, hay is expensive. How do you handle that? Most of our horses are sponsored by generous individuals in the community or teams of generous individuals who help to pay for that horse's monthly and yearly care to make sure they get all their vaccinations, veterinary care, and to make sure we can cover our rapidly increasing hay costs.
Definitely.
So the community support is just incredible. There are so many people who say, well, I can't volunteer, but I want to be involved. I want to be part of this. And we consider our volunteers and our donors just an equal part of the family. They're all integral to making this program work. There's also a number of community organizations, great funds that support local nonprofits. The Community Foundation of the North State, if you are a nonprofit, I can't recommend them highly enough. Get involved with them. They will hook you up with wonderful donors and organizations. We have received funds for projects and to support horses and things from the Animal Welfare Fund, from the Reading Rancheria Community Fund, from the McConnell Foundation, and from so many other, you know, larger donors and organizations as well. But the individual support is really the thing that keeps us running.
I have two thoughts.
Okay.
Because we're close, right?
We've got 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
First, just to let everybody know, it just takes one person. And if one person changes one life, you have no idea the impact that one life will have on the people around them. So there's a great line in the movie Seabiscuit. Did you see it? It's my favorite line, I think, out of every movie I've ever watched, where the old trainer is sitting by the fire and he decides to keep this gray racehorse that had just been battered and I think injured, right, Jenny? And he's sitting by the fire and everybody's telling him, you're crazy, what are you doing? And he said, you don't throw away a life just because it's been banged up a little. And I think we look at this population in our community and we think they're too banged up, but they're not. They're not. It just takes somebody like that. It takes one human investing in another human to see things start to change.
Nice.
Doesn't mean we enable them.
Right.
It means we lift them up and we show them what it's like to be able to find hope and love and then purpose.
Perfect. That's a good one to end on as far as the part of our show where I feel like we have a good feel for your thing. Mm-hmm. Now I want to talk to you in the last couple of minutes of people that we know around this station, et cetera, where people have a horse.
Yeah.
And maybe let's just say, here's a child that's 20 and they need support. Mm-hmm. Can you, or we have a listener who's thinking, maybe I could do something with my horse that's standing out there mm-hmm. in the field. Can you just walk us through the most basic step-by-step? Like, what do we do? If it sounds scary, like, what do we do with this person standing there? Like, how do we make something happen?
That's exactly how I started. There was no intent. It was just a little girl brought her friend, who was a foster child, and it started with that. And I just said, help me with chores, and then we'll brush a horse. You don't have to have anything profound. It's just that companionship of, hey, help me feed the horse. Let's brush the horse. And to have ears that listen. Because so many times we want to impart, you know, this is what you should do, and you should do this, and then you should do this. But just like with horses, if we don't establish trust first, then we can't have any relationship. And especially for kids and young adults, anybody really, that are hurting from trauma that has been put on them by other people, trust is huge. So it's just a matter of being with them, interacting, bringing them in on the simple tasks. I would just say, as an old horsewoman and a teacher and a trainer, you go slow about putting somebody on a horse, but sometimes that's not even needed. Sometimes it's just, hey, let's just take this horse for a walk. Let's just watch him interact with us. Sometimes the horse does it all, and you just stand there and enjoy.
Okay. And so when it's time to put them on the horse, do you have any suggestions there? Let's say you've done all that and...
Insurance.
helmets.
And helmets. That's good. I am writing that down. I'm taking these love notes here.
We live in the state of California. It's the land of, what's the word?
Bureaucracy.
Bureaucracy.
Lawsuits.
Lawsuits, right. Litigation. So, yeah, if you own the horse, it's prudent, you know, to make sure you're covered for that. Even if it's just one person coming out to your property. But it's doable. It's really more doable that way. So many people, you know, see what we do and they're like, oh, this is overwhelming. And I said, but remember, when I started, it was just one kid coming out to hang out with me.
One kid in 1 hour. You know,
right.
It's like.
So that's a no-brainer. You know, there's a kid in your neighborhood or where you live or, you know, where your barn's at that. So we boarded in Scottsdale. My daughter and I boarded our horses. There was a young lady that would come to that barn for lessons. She was extremely traumatized by verbal abuse. She found a horse there that she would go in and read books to every time she came out there. It changed her life.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. We're going to end on that one then. Oh, so much is wonderful. I want to thank the listeners for being with us today, and we'll see you again hopefully one of these times.
Thank you.
Thank you.